The following program will make you want to grow things and experience new and wonderful dreams about your plants, garden, and garden design. Listener participation is always strongly advised. And welcome to Down the Garden Path with your hosts, Joanne Shaw and Matthew Dressing, right here on Reality Radio 101. To contact us live this evening, dial 905-725-1907. Toll free in North America, 1-866-905-7325. Send us an email, instudio101@gmail.com. And now, right to your hosts of Down the Garden Path, Joanne Shaw and Matthew Dressing.
Thank you, Gary. Welcome to the show, Matt.
Hi, Joanne.
Well, welcome everyone to Down the Garden Path. Thank you for joining us here once again on a Monday evening. This is where we discuss down-to-earth tips and advice for your plants, gardens, and landscapes. As fellow gardeners ourselves, we believe it's great and it's possible and important to have great gardens that are low maintenance, which is why here on Down the Garden Path each week we do our best to help you achieve that. Tonight we always want to have interesting and relevant and timely topics, don't we?
We do.
And so tonight is all about veggies.
Veggies.
Because we all have our vegetable gardens done, right?
Every single one of us.
So if you do have your garden done and now you're wondering what do I do now, or if you don't and you're wondering if it's too late, or if you have any other specific questions about vegetables, please give us a call. Or email us at instudio101@gmail.com, like Gary said. We're happy to cover lots of information on vegetables tonight.
You got it.
But first off, let's talk about the weather.
Oh.
It's been cool, hasn't it?
It has been very cool, very cool. Yeah, and wet.
And wet. Ugh. I know, and it's really slowing down. I know the contractors installing jobs, right?
It's
slowing them down. They're having to take afternoons off or whatever. They can't do certain stages of the job because of the water. So
just too wet. Yeah.
Yeah.
Digging your sod and yeah.
Yeah. And how are the customers finding it at work?
Same. Yeah. Same. They're anxious to get out there, but it's just they're reporting it's too wet. They can't go on their lawns. They don't want to go in their gardens. They're just hesitating a little. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just because that weird cool weather.
Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, this week it looks like another unpredictable week.
Yeah. Well, like the rain this afternoon.
I know. So I know you're from all over the GTA.
Yeah.
So some people, I think, in the West End are getting it now.
Mm.
We got it about 1:30 or so this afternoon. It kind of came out of nowhere. So yeah, it's been an interesting May, but it still is May. It's still like, I think we start the season so quick and so fast,
that.
You know, people are kind of thinking about it regretfully as, oh, this summer is going to be terrible. And it's like, well, it's still just May.
It's still May. Spring is still like has a month left to go almost.
Yeah. Our U.S. friends are having their Memorial Day holiday. Happy U.S. Memorial Day, Gary.
Yes. Today is Memorial Day in the U.S.
Yes,
correct.
Yes. I don't know if our listeners know that Gary's, well, you're dual now, but
yeah, dual citizen.
Yes. So I don't know how many listeners are taking a break from their holiday and tuning in to us tonight, but thank you for joining us. And we're looking forward to hearing about your vegetable questions, because we've got lots to cover, don't we?
We do. We have lots to cover. Lots to cover.
It's a big topic.
It is. It's quite a daunting topic, it can be. But, I mean, it's somewhere to start, and it's easier than a lot of people think.
Yes, for sure.
It's a lot of fun.
For sure. And I know we've talked about it on the show before. We've had different guests on who have different businesses related to vegetable gardens.
Mm-hmm.
But with this one, Matthew and I thought we'd just aim it towards, you know, the regular homeowner that's trying it out.
Yeah, exactly. Right? A lot of the grow your own group.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I was mentioning to you before the show that my 19-year-old son, I know because we've had these past shows about vegetables, I've told you how I don't really have a vegetable garden and I'm not really great at growing vegetables. I have tried to grow them in containers to somewhat success. Jalapeno peppers last year, we had more than we knew what to do with.
Nice.
Cherry tomatoes the last 2 years, been very disappointed. I've gotten the plants from a local nursery that shall remain nameless, and they were not what the tag said they were, so they weren't.
That's so disappointing.
It is so very disappointing. So we have, my backyard is all pool and concrete, so no room for vegetable garden, hence the
containers.
Yeah. Except for that little 18-inch strip between the 3-foot part of the surround of the pool and the fence, where I've always had river rock and ornamental grasses. And then this spring, my son informed me he wants a vegetable garden, and because the boys hate having to clean out the stuff from the grasses in the pool.
Oh yeah, the flowers.
Right, and they're gotten too big, so they were definitely due for some dividing. So I said, well, if you want a vegetable garden there, then you go ahead and dig out the grasses and dig out the river rock. Fully thinking there was no way he was going to do that.
And did he do it?
He did. He did. So we have this long, I don't know, 18-foot strip that's, you know, 18 inches. Yeah, so it's a good long strip. I posted a couple pictures on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter today of the little strip. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we bought our vegetables yesterday, and I bought a couple more today, and he's planted them all. He planted them faster than I could, you know, point out what he should or shouldn't do. Not that I know what he should or shouldn't do. So I'm looking forward to hearing from you today. So it's kind of like we are definitely amongst those, now that we've planted it, now what?
Right.
Group. But let's talk about the plants. So it's not too late, right?
No, it's not. It's not too late at all. There are a lot of plants. I know the garden center that I work at, we're getting fresh stuff every day. It does normally peak for us before the May 2-4 weekend, but this year, just with the cool weather, everything's a little delayed. So don't let that get you down and discouraged. I mean, I just bought my tomatoes and strawberries today to plant out. I have a balcony, so I do container gardening.
Yeah.
And they're going to be perfectly fine. So,
Yeah,
there's lots to still choose from depending on where you are, and it's definitely not too late. Now, if you are starting or thinking of starting from seed, that can be a little too late, especially your tomatoes, your peppers, and some of the odds and sods. I mean, they like a good, you know, 70 plus days, depending on who you are, to get started.
Right.
So it's just more advantageous, definitely, to go out and get that little tomato plant or that little pepper plant.
And there's lots of options, right? You can get them little in a cell pack. You know, you get 4 in a cell pack.
Right,
a
couple inches tall.
Or you can get them in like a 4-inch pot. And then they had some that were in like 10-inch pots.
Yeah, we had 6 and 8 and 10-inch pots. And
Some
of them are already bearing fruit and some of them
I thought that was a little too fast.
That's a little too fast. They've
don't
been growing
think?
For a while.
But I was worried that the temperatures would still be not great for them.
Yep. And we've had a few people who have put their stuff out a little too early or have bought something like that, and they're showing a little damage. Yep.
Okay.
For sure.
So that's good.
Yeah.
So is cell pack still, you think, a good option?
Yeah, I think so. It's, yeah. I mean, I brought just a little 4-inch guy, and he's maybe 6 inches tall, if that. But
yeah.
And most of the cell packs, depending on how long they've been there, they're also already a little oversized for their cell pack.
Yes.
Depending on where you're. Yeah. Or what you're getting. So
yeah, my cell packs weren't too bad, but certainly the 4-inch pots, the peppers were like ready to get out of there. Like they were like, it was hard to find one that was standing up on its own.
Yeah.
Right? They were almost.
Ready to
So we have it's interesting. So we've got a little bit of a variety of a few. So, yeah. And so what's the best thing? So buying plants, it's still not too late, everybody. You don't have to do it by seed, although there are some things we can sell. What's it called? Direct sow.
Yeah, direct sow.
Right?
Exactly.
Lettuce.
Your radishes. Yep. And a bunch of different things depending on different times of year.
Okay.
So you can sow and grow in the cool springs, you know, your beets, your broccolis, lettuces, onions, parsnips, peas, potatoes. I just planted some potatoes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so there's lots of time to go yet.
Okay.
For sure.
And how did you plant your potatoes?
I planted them.
Or are we getting to that?
No.
Because that's a different, right?
It's a whole other thing.
Yes, it's a whole other thing.
Yeah, because you have to plant your potatoes and then just slowly cover the greens as they grow. So I have a
but seed potatoes, not the potatoes you buy from the grocery store.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
I usually have the seed potatoes. If you have smaller potatoes, I mean, a potato is a potato. But yeah, definitely with the seed potatoes are a little better for that. But yeah, I had a bag of Yukon Gold seed potatoes.
And okay.
pardon me. A potato planter bag. So it's about a 16-inch bag, and you roll down the sides.
Okay.
And so I put in, filled it 2/3 up so that the pot was, I rolled it down to 12 inches. Let's start there.
Okay.
And then filled it up 2/3, so filled 8 inches, and then put 4 potatoes in it, just kind of like the 4 points of a square.
Okay.
And then they grew up, buried them.
I mean, they sprouted.
They sprouted.
Okay.
And they kind of grew. Yeah.
Right. The potatoes like grew up. Yeah.
They
grew
up.
They grew legs and they
now.
Got long. Yes. They're exactly getting ready for college.
It's a little sad, but.
okay. So they sprouted those seeds.
So they sprouted.
You don't want them to sprout when they're in your cupboard in the kitchen.
Right. Exactly. Okay. So their eyes are all sprouted. And as the greens grow, I'm burying them. I have to bury them, add a little bit of soil each time. So 2 to 4 inches. And then I'm doing them in lifts. So I've done the first burying. So
okay.
Now the pot is filled up to 12 inches.
Okay.
And I've rolled up the rim a bit. And I've put in 4 more potatoes in between the 2, or the 4, sorry, that I planted originally.
Okay.
And I've buried them at the same time.
So, silly question.
Mm-hmm.
So, a new potato is going to grow from the end of those eyes thingies?
Right. So, the eyes are going to become a plant. And the potato is going to shrink and grow roots. And eventually, around the original potato, a bunch of other potatoes are gonna form.
Okay.
And I'm gonna keep burying the plants as they grow out of the potato.
Okay.
Until I fill the container, and then at the end of the season, end of the summer, I can open a little flap on the side of the container, and all my ripe new potatoes can fall
out,
and I can harvest them.
Okay,
yeah.
So it kind of seems like high maintenance, but then it kind of seems easy at the same time. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
because like
does.
I would forget. Like you have to kind of keep an eye on them.
The starting, you got to kind of watch them grow. I mean, I missed it by a few days, so my were a little leggier than I should have, but they'll be fine.
Okay,
but yeah, you got to watch them in the beginning.
I think of how many potatoes go leggy in my cupboards.
That's exactly it.
Yeah. So yes. Oh my goodness. So that is interesting. So now where did you get the bag?
We actually sell them at the garden center.
Oh, okay. So they're readily available?
Readily available. It cost me about $15.
Oh, okay. Reusable? Like you could use it again next year?
It's a nice reusable.
Because when you say bag, I wasn't sure.
Yeah. It could be plastic or something. But it's that kind of, you know, that vinyl tarp kind of fabric.
Oh, okay.
It's like weaved like that.
Yes,
dark green.
Yes, okay.
Yeah, kind of attractive. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Dark green.
So that should be really fun. So we'll get a whole bunch of potatoes out of
those. And so, and they're on your balcony.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
So they still need sun. Like
right.
They still need.
So I've got them in a very
even though they're
spot.
Yeah, even though they're kind of enclosed. So even when you've filled it completely up.
Right. So then the greens are going to take over. And just like any other vegetable, they want to be in full sun.
Okay.
The plant has to grow and feed and fatten up the potatoes.
And how do you, I continue with the silly questions.
No.
How do you water them?
Yeah, I'm just going to water them just like a normal container, like I would have
like
a cherry tomato.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the soil, are you using like a potting soil or a compost?
Used a certified organic triple mix, but for vegetables.
Ooh.
And they sprouted amazingly quick.
I
had a couple inches within a few days.
Okay.
So.
Because much more nutrient, like potting soil is not going to have anything for them, right?
No, it's usually just kind of a weak, sterile peat moss kind of residual thing. But yeah, the it was enriched with compost. It's very loamy, airy, really crumbly. It was beautiful stuff.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. You get very excited about
it. I am very, very excited.
So we can't, Gary, we do have a comment, but we can't see the listener's name
on
the message. Sorry. So we're happy that they, oh yes, you've zoomed up. Elise? Yes, I'm glad you're enjoying the show. It is good timing. We kind of had a plan for that. So, yeah. And we thank our listeners because I know if you didn't notice, we were not here. I guess we didn't talk about that at the top of the show.
We didn't.
We had two past episodes the last 2 weeks. So we're happy to be back live with you. Thank you for listening to those shows because we still think they were timely.
Yeah.
And we knew we have had a lot of listeners to listen into the repeat segments. One of them was our holiday here. I know the U.S. is having their Memorial Day holiday, and one was our Victoria Day holiday. And I was a bit of under the weather. And then the week before, I can't even remember. But anyway, we're back. We're back live, and we're happy to be here to talk about vegetables.
Very happy.
Yeah. So what else should we cover?
I get a lot of questions in the garden center. You know, I've got a lot of shade. Can I still grow herbs and veggies? And there are some that are, you know, tolerant, but they all do prefer full sun.
Right.
As much sun as you can give them. A minimum of about 6 hours.
Okay.
Is safe. So just, you know, make sure if you haven't started yet, you want to make sure that you choose your site. And just there's a few considerations there.
Okay.
That you want to take into consideration.
So yeah, so full sun is kind of 6 to 8 hours.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. 6 to 8 hours is considered your full sun.
Yeah. And so then kind of below six is kind of then you're getting into the part sun.
Yeah. I say usually 4 to 6, you've got part sun.
Okay.
And then 4 or less, you've pretty much got full shade basically. And I usually say you have consecutive daylight hours.
Right. So the hour in the morning and the hour in the afternoon doesn't count.
Right. Exactly.
You know, yeah.
If you got a passing hour, that's still shade.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Now, some lettuce. Isn't lettuce one of the ones that you can kind of grow in part sun?
They can. And you know, they actually do recommend lettuce with your tomato plants.
Oh, okay.
Because the tomato plants at the base, the leaves that are taller than the lettuce, will have a little bit of a kind of a dappling shade effect. So it keeps the lettuce cool because lettuce is a cool season plant. But then it also, the lettuce competes for the weeds on the bottom, keeps the row clean and uses up all those available nutrients.
Okay.
Yeah. But eats slightly different than a tomato.
Yes.
So neither of them really starve or overcompete.
Yeah, for sure. And I would think that if anybody who has a challenge with the sunlight, that's where containers can kind of come in, right? Because if and that was, well, I had lots of sunlight, but like, yeah, my front yard wouldn't have been great. Not that anybody, well, some people are growing vegetables in the front yard. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
But I don't have that amount of sun. My sun is in my backyard, but it was easier to grow in containers up to this point.
Yeah. And that's how I do it on my balcony.
Yes.
I've kind of got half and half.
Okay.
So everything's on the one side.
Right.
It's in full sun. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and I've had that too with some homeowners where they want to know what do they do and, you know, how can they grow vegetables? And sometimes it is best just to leave it with this in containers.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Got some containers around.
Yeah. So there's lots to talk about. Why don't we, do you want to take a commercial break?
Sure. Let's take a commercial break.
Okay. And then we can talk more about vegetables when we get back to Down the Garden Path here on
Reality Radio 101.
Tear up the photographs, but yesterday won't let go. Every day, every minute, here comes the emptiness.
Are you wondering why your life isn't moving in the direction that you want it to? Do you ever hear yourself saying, it's like I'm running into walls, or my money flows out as quickly as it comes in? Until about 9 years ago, I used to hear myself say those exact words. I could never figure out what was causing these problems or how to fix them. Well, that's until I started to learn about feng shui and how by applying the principles of it to my home or my office, I could in fact help fix those problems and have my life run smoother. Wow. When you book a feng shui consultation with us at Your Spiritual Connection, we will help you to figure out why things aren't working out in your favor, and we will offer simple solutions to help correct the problems, which will in turn help your life to run smoother.
contact Trish John of your spiritual connection at 905-391-8801 to book your feng shui consultation today. For more information on any of our upcoming events and workshops, please visit our website at www.yourspiritualconnection.ca. Your Spiritual Connection, helping you to make the connections in your life. When you go outside and look at your driveway, what do you see? Do you notice cracks, stains, oil damage, and dullness? Is your driveway not becoming to your home? Well, if so, you should be coming to Caverly's Driveway Sealing. At Caverly's Driveway Sealing, we use the absolute best sealing technology and materials available. We can repair those unsightly holes, cracks, and oil stains. And we can also rebuild the driveway surface at the garage door. Our rates are extremely reasonable, and our workmanship is A1. We also offer free estimates. So what are you waiting for? Give your driveway the facelift that it needs right now. Call Caverly Driveway Sealing at 905-259-5425. That's 905-259-5425. Call us today and be very proud of your driveway tomorrow. The following program will make you want to grow things, especially vegetables, and experience new and wonderful dreams about your plants, garden, and garden design. Listener participation is always strongly advised. Welcome back to Down the Garden Path with your hosts, Joanne Shaw and Matthew Dressing, right here on Reality Radio 101. To contact us live right now, dial 905-725-1907. Toll free, 1-866-905-7325. Send us an email in studio101@gmail.com. And now, right back to your hosts of Down the Garden Path, Joanne Shaw and Matthew Dressing.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Down the Garden Path here on Reality Radio 101. I'm here with Joanne. We're back after a little two-week hiatus, and we're excited to talk everything veggies. Mm-hmm. So in case you missed it and you have a question, in studio101@gmail.com, ask us anything. And we were just talking about kind of, you know, if you haven't started your garden yet, is it too late? And the answer is no. There's plenty of plants and a good selection of some quick-growing seeds like lettuce and radishes and things that you can grow. And then just making sure that you're growing it in the right spot and you're getting a good start. So,
right.
You know, lots of sun.
Like most things, the right plant in the right spot is low maintenance.
Is key, exactly. Yeah. And you know what? If I was kind of thinking about you before the show, too, because your catch line for, you know, down to earth is...
Yes. Great landscape, start with a plan.
Exactly. And starting a plan with a vegetable garden mm-hmm. really takes a lot of the frustration and the worry out of it.
Okay.
Because, you know where things are. You're
yes.
planting seasonally. You're planting with timing.
I don't think my son started with a plan, but
no,
that's
and,
okay.
You know, flying by the seat of yeah. your pants is fun, too.
Definitely. But I think that's especially important if you have a vegetable garden area and you plant in subsequent years, right? Because there's that whole crop, you shouldn't plant
crop
the
rotation.
Same, right? There, I don't
right.
know if everybody knows about that you can't, you shouldn't
no.
plant, you know, the tomatoes in the same spot.
Every year.
Now, right. that's curious because I always planted planting in containers. Are you supposed to not
plant the same tomato in the
yeah,
same container
yeah.
kind of thing. I do. I just find that you really need to rejuvenate that compost.
Okay.
So I tend to mix in a fresh, top dressing of compost.
I think I have too, yeah, in the past. It's trickier
yeah.
in containers because you need something that's not so heavy,
mm-hmm.
right?
Right.
And because, you know, I'd move the pots around a little bit. and you don't want the pot cracking, but also retains the water, like holds the water too. Right. Like, you know, so it's a little bit like, how do you, is it, I don't know if they've started making a vegetable soil for containers, you know?
Yeah.
Or I think some people make their own by mixing different things. What do you do that?
Yeah. I mean, I mixed my own. My main tomato planter is a 20-gallon tree pot. Nursery
okay.
container. And
spent a lot on that, did you?
Yes, I did. Very technical plan.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mixed, I had a forest compost, which was a little lighter. I had a little bit of leftover, just, you know, all purpose potting mix. And then I put in some compost and some cow manure. And it was just broken bags that I had picked up at the garden center really cheap, and it really worked for me. But there was a container gardening mix or an urban container mix that we have.
Okay.
It's meant for veggies and containers and things like that, but I still find it is a little heavier. So this year what I did at the store was I took a little bit of that, but I also mixed it with, oddly enough, our Viva Lawn Repair. So it's our... like our top seeding.
Okay.
Top dressing.
Top dressing.
Right. Because it has the water, the moisture retention, but it's really, really fluffy and lightweight.
Okay.
With the humus and the...
Okay. So you did that for your house or you did that at the store?
I did that at the store.
Okay. So just kind of test it out.
Right. To do some container gardening for some exciting new container veggie berry plants.
Oh, okay.
And it seems to be working really well. So,
excellent.
So far, so good.
So, yeah, so I'm sure there's lots of recipes out there on Pinterest or on the internet about
everywhere.
Different ways. And I think nurseries are catching on, also garden centers, that we are more and more people are trying to grow food in containers so that they need better soil.
Right.
Because not everybody has the space. Because it's one thing if you've got a yard, big yard, that you can buy all the different bags and mix them up and, you know,
yeah.
But not everybody has that much space.
No. No.
So I could see that being a little challenging for people. So starting with a good mixture, compost. We certainly did. We put in comp after my son removed all the river rock. It was really crappy soil, of course. So we did. I said for him to put in compost and some triple mix. And so he did that. The mushroom compost is what he chose.
Oh, nice.
Yes. So, yeah. And then that's it. Like we didn't, is there a, and we bought all already started plants. So we didn't grow anything from seed,
mm-hmm.
Some in cell packs, some in 4-inch. Should we have done, like I have other fertilizers I bought in the past, you know, the hen stuff and
yeah.
the fish stuff, and you know, every year you think you're going to try something new and then, or I buy something and forget that I have the other stuff. So I didn't buy anything this year, but should we fertilize, like, is that the next thing to talk about? Like,
right, yeah. And even test your soil if you're using existing soil in the ground, just so you know if it is missing something that you
can
replenish that there for the plant.
Okay.
But yeah, you want to make sure that you're feeding it once the seedlings reach a couple inches tall, you can start or get their first pair of leaves,
right?
Their true pair of leaves. That's when you want to start applying like a water soluble thing.
Okay.
If you're starting by seeds. But then, yeah, one of the regular maintenance throughout the whole year is you want to make sure that you are feeding regularly, either water soluble, top dressing with the long lasting, like a nice rich compost that'll slowly leach its nutrients into the root zone. There's a lot of organics out there now, organic based. I don't want to say chemical because they're organic based, but
right.
Those kind of like organic based granular fertilizers.
Okay. Well, like,
right.
So what would the hen and the fish stuff be? Like, they were like so technical.
Yeah.
Fish stuff. They're like the little pellets. So I'm thinking in the past, I've kind of just sprinkled a handful.
Right.
In the container, but now that it's a longer bed, you know, is that okay? Or should I be dissolving those in water?
Yeah, no, you can just feed along the sides of the plant, along the edges of the plant, the little side feeding, and then just kind of tease them into the soil.
Okay.
I kind of envision, like you tossing your hair.
Oh, okay.
Just kind of roughing it into the soil.
Okay.
Right.
All right.
Yeah, and then just long, nice long feeding. So a lot of those granulars will last up to 2 months.
Okay, so it's not really, like something you have to do every
week,
right?
You're not doing it like weekly or daily by any means.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. Because, you know, vegetable garden can be a little boring because really once we've planted it,
right,
You know, lettuce, as maybe with the exception of there's some fast things like lettuce you need to keep from bolting and you need to keep using.
Yeah.
Beets, carrots, not too bad.
Not too bad. A lot of your herbs, a lot of people basils and the thymes and other things.
I still like to put, because a lot of those are invasive.
They can be.
Yeah. So I find, so please listeners, like no mint, no oregano, no, you know, just it's not worth it. Mm. The boys love getting spearmint. We put in containers every year. They put in their iced tea. Mm-hmm. Dill, the chives are fine, although the chives overwinter in containers, so those are great.
Mm-hmm.
So I just advise not to bother with mint. It's just too, and a lot of herbs, actually. I just think it's too risky.
Yep.
And I think they need a little, I don't know, I just think they need a little bit more to keep an eye on them.
They do.
And I think the fact that if they're in a pot, then they can be closer to the kitchen. Like they can be closer or to the barbecue, like where you need them.
Right.
You know, as opposed to going out to the whatever to get the herbs.
Right. Walking to the back fence around the pool to grab two sprigs of basil or mint or something.
Yeah, a handful of chives. Like it just doesn't make sense. So that, I don't know. That's my kind of little down-to-earth practical tip.
Yeah, well, and exactly. Yeah. You can just stay on top of it better. Yeah. You have fresher, nicer herbs.
Yeah,
sure.
And then when they don't make it, you know, it's no big deal. Like the next year, you know, you can start something else
in that container.
Yeah. So we do have a listener here. Do you want to answer that one?
Oh, I haven't read it yet.
Okay.
So Amon. Thank you, Amon. We missed all of you guys too. He's asking which is better to grow vegetables. I think maybe when is better to grow vegetables now, seeds or plants? Yeah. So again, Amon, it just depends on what you've got. Things like your tomatoes, your peppers, they need a lot of time to grow. They have long maturity dates, which is when they become to that maturity is when you're going to start seeing, you know, the tomatoes to harvest or the peppers to pick. So just be very mindful of those maturity dates. Like tomatoes.
So it's almost a little too late to start those. And right, Matt's trying to see, not to hurt your feelings.
Not to hurt your feelings.
Yeah.
If you were
a little too late.
Tomatoes, not so much by seed anymore. So yeah, grabbing things like that in the plants, but depending on what you want. A lot of herbs you can still start as they're just kind of the foliage is you're usually what you're getting. But most people, when they're cooking, you're going to want to buy a plant anyway. So at about this point, it's going to definitely be more plants versus seeds. The seeding for veggies, it really picks up surprisingly right in about the middle of February. For us, people get really excited. They got to get those new varieties, get enough seeds, and they get all their supplies ready.
And I can't even begin to think about the work involved in February. So so there are the keeners that do that. But it's perfectly fine to start. You know, the nurseries have, and the grocery stores, the garden centers have perfectly. You know, those farmers have started those seeds for you in February, and buying cell packs and 4-inch pots. And you know, we spoke about it a little while ago. So
And I'm in a small space. I have an apartment. So I buy the plants. I start almost nothing from seed at all.
Yeah, same. Yeah. And I have a house and I don't start. Just because I just don't have the patience for it. Nor do I have the room in the house. Like to me, I think it's if you're going to do it, you need to do it right and grow lights and all of that. And
heating trays. It's
and it's just not my cup of tea. Yeah. So I'm happy to spend a couple bucks more in the winter or in the summer and spring and buy plants.
Yeah. You buy a $3.99 pack of seeds and end up with 90 tomatoes.
Yeah, for sure. That is, talking about the 90 tomatoes. So spacing, is that a common problem where people kind of just jam it full of plants?
They do. They just pack it really full. And you can get into some trouble there in a few ways. Air circulation especially, and then the watering issue too. You get perfect little spots for pests and diseases and water to be trapped and things just to kind of go a little weird in the garden for sure. And then space too. I mean, remember if you've got a larger space or a smaller space, you still need to reach to the back of it, right?
To
harvest stuff. So you got to be able to walk in there too.
Yes. Well,
you've got a nice
little 18
inches.
Yeah, that's fine because it's a nice little,
one arm.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. But I still think we put things a little close together.
We do.
But
jam it right.
You know, but I always think, okay, but something's not going to make, like, not all those plants are going to make it. Like, I think it's like kind of survival of the fittest, yep. right? And so we planted, like today, like we planted 4 bean plants. And I bought them and he planted them before I even could say anything. And so then when I said to him, I said, I don't think we need to plant. Like, I think 4 is a lot of beans. I don't think we need to plant 4. But it came in a cell pack of 4. So, and he looked at me and goes, too late. I've already planted them. He goes, but I did think it was a lot. And I'm like, yeah. But in my head, I'm thinking, well, chances are like, yay, if 2 survive. Like, am I being I'm being a pessimist or what?
No. I mean, if 2 survive, great.
Yeah.
Right? Or, you know, 1 or 2 take over and the other 2 are little. But, I mean, yeah, you'll still get the beans out of it.
Right.
But then, yeah, spacing too close, right? The big bean or the ones that do survive are going to outcompete. So you've got a lot of different plants competing for the same water and food. Mm-hmm. So then you stunt one or one fails or, right. So just giving you that space allows the plants to get what they need.
Okay.
The light, the air, the food, the water to actually grow into what you want.
Okay.
Because it's disappointing. You get to the end of the season, it's so chock full of everything.
Yes.
Nothing really comes out to the full potential.
Right, right. Because we never know how the season's going to go, right? So we never know. Like, that it could heat up and catch up the couple weeks that of sun, you know, that we've really missed.
Right.
So it's hard to know, isn't it?
Yeah. It is always hard to know whether it's that.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why they call it weather.
Yes. So I see what you said, making sure we have room around our vegetables. So, and back to the fertilizing. So if it's only good, it's good for every 2 months, like then I'm fine until, like, do we need to do it right away or?
Yeah, you always want to make sure once things are growing, they're always feeding. So
right.
You do want to have some source of food. Because remember, even like the seedlings, once they get their new leaves, they're looking for food to grow.
Okay, so we should do the hen stuff in sprinkle that or the fish? Is there one? I know that. I don't know the numbers by heart. I'm sure we could Google that. But
5-3-3 is
the numbers are low, much different than your lawn and your flower gardens and annuals. So it's not the same. You know, I think fertilizing your vegetable garden is a little different, right? The mixes that you should get. I know it's one more thing to buy, but I think you have to look at the numbers.
For sure.
It's not something, you know, the stuff that you put in your annual flower baskets that are like, what, 10, 52, 10 for flowering is not what you want to put in your vegetables, right?
No. You usually end up with it's something like, you know, an 8, 10, 12 or something like that. Or a 4, 3, 7 if you go organic.
Yes.
Kind of thing. Yeah, they use a lot more of the potassium and a lower phosphorus and kind of a moderate or even low nitrogen.
Okay.
And it's just, you know, drawing up those nutrients, fighting the diseases and things. Tomatoes, for sure. I mean, they like different micronutrients.
Okay.
So, you know, you want a tomato fertilizer.
Mm-hmm. That specific.
Right.
Yeah. I don't think I'll do that, but sorry. I don't know. Well, I can, you know, certainly look at the guideline for the numbers for those. Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, like we have.
And there's organic fertilizers available, right?
Exactly.
I would think are they most popular things,
they
I would think?
Are just booming, yeah.
Yes.
The whole grow your own field is the main category, especially in garden centers, they just keep growing. And everyone is organic. Organic seeds, are they GMOs? What plants do you have? Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's the incentive because organic is expensive to buy in the grocery store. So the incentive to grow your own is to grow organic.
Grow organic. And you can grow so much more, usually for a cheaper price over the long run.
Yeah.
And still eat all that organic.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Definitely. So, I mean, it's challenging. It depends where you are in the world. I mean, we have a fairly small-ish growing season.
Yeah.
I know I belong to some, you know, blogger groups and things like that, garden blogger groups, and the ladies from the south have been like harvesting squash already, canning tomatoes already. Like, it's just unbelievable. I can't believe it.
I wouldn't even think of doing that.
I know. So they, you know, so definitely depending on where you are, you know, we could be boring you to death because we're still talking about soil and fertilizing. You're already harvesting. So there's that the harvest brings a whole other challenge. So, but yeah, so if you're lucky enough to be in a long growing area.
Yeah.
Although I was thinking about the East Coast today.
Did you see last night? It was like zero in St. John's.
I know. They're still getting. They've had snow up until like it seems like yesterday. Yeah. Like, I don't know. Has the snow really melted? Like, has it been warm enough to melt the snow? I don't know if we have any listeners from the East Coast. So I feel bad because that really is a shorter season
for
them.
That's a short season. Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. So
even in Winnipeg. I think their Victoria Day weekend, their average last frost date is like June 15th.
Oh, really? So yeah. I heard something about them being 2 weeks behind even because of the cool and the rain.
Yeah.
Everybody's 2 weeks behind. And I think we kind of are too, aren't we?
I think we are for sure in a number of respects.
Yeah.
Yep.
Definitely. It's like the lilacs, although it's not quite June yet. But everything still seems, although the forsythia seemed like it bloomed forever.
Oh, it did. Yeah.
Yeah. So definitely I could see that. So what do you think?
Maybe.
We have lots more to talk about. Yeah. But why don't we have a commercial break? We'll take a pause. Please send in your questions if you have any about your vegetables. You're listening to Down the Garden Path here on
Reality Radio 101.
Please wrap your drunken arms around me, and I'll let you call me yours tonight.
Are you wondering why your life isn't moving in the direction that you want it to? Do you ever hear yourself saying, "It's like I'm running into walls," or "My money flows out as quickly as it comes in"? Until about 9 years ago, I used to hear myself say those exact words. I could never figure out what was causing these problems or how to fix them. Well, that's until I started to learn about feng shui and how by applying the principles of it to my home or my office, I could in fact help fix those problems and have my life run smoother. Wow. When you book a feng shui consultation with us at Your Spiritual Connection, we will help you to figure out why things aren't working out in your favor. And we will offer simple solutions to help correct the problems, which will in turn help your life to run smoother.
Contact Trish John of Your Spiritual Connection at 905-391-8801 to book your feng shui consultation today. For more information on any of our upcoming events and workshops, please visit our website at www.yourspiritualconnection.ca. Your Spiritual Connection, helping you to make the connections in your life.
Faith, family, friends. At Armstrong Funeral Home, we are here to honor those elements of your life that you cherish the most. Faith, family, and friends. Armstrong Funeral Home, serving the Oshawa community since 1930. Centrally located at 124 King Street East in Oshawa. Call 905-433-4711 or visit us online at armstrongfuneralhome.net. Contact us to discuss your funeral arrangements, church celebration, cremation, or burial. Armstrong Funeral Home, remembering the journey.
The following program will make you want to grow things and experience new and wonderful dreams about your plants, garden, and garden design. Listener participation is strongly advised. Welcome back to Down the Garden Path with your hosts, Joanne Shaw and Matthew Dressing, right here on Reality Radio 101. To get on board, send us an email, instudio101@gmail.com. And now, right back to your hosts of Down the Garden Path, Joanne Shaw and Matthew Dressing.
Thank you, Gary, and welcome back, everyone. You are listening to Down the Garden Path on Reality Radio 101. Joanne and I are here, and we are talking everything vegetables.
We are. And I was wondering, Gary, that wasn't like our usual classic rock. Like, what was
I know. I gotta get that together because I'm playing these random things.
Yeah.
And that's not good.
No, it's fine. Yeah.
Because the stuff I play, I hate.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I'm kind of like, okay, that's just not usually what
I know.
But that's okay.
Sorry about
it's
that.
All right. No.
It's still a good song.
No, it's fine. It's just not your usual.
I know.
So is it that easy? So I wanted to talk about, I have a couple questions for you. Things like space, because some things take up a lot of space. We were talking a bit about spacing.
Mm-hmm.
So beans, cucumbers, certainly squashes and melons and pumpkins and stuff like that, you need tons of space for.
Right.
We have done cucumbers and beans with the idea that we would go and do, it's funny, I have an obelisk, and so he said, because we'll just run the cucumber up that metal thing you have. And I said, sure, thinking about the obelisk. Right. And then I come and I look what he's planning. He's put a tomato cage on top of it, plus his heart. So I had to say, you know, and he goes, well, what's, and I said, well, because it's not going to be strong enough or tall enough, right, for a cucumber.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be fine for the tomato plants, but.
Right.
So, yeah.
But definitely, yeah, vertical space.
Yes.
For sure. Yeah, a lot of things, the vines especially.
Okay. How easy are they to get to climb a trellis, though, or an obelisk?
Yeah, depending on, are you thinking the cucumbers specifically?
And the beans.
Yeah, they're usually fairly easy to do. A lot of people love doing the cucumbers on a fence or a trellis or something like that.
Okay.
For sure.
Because I think last year we bought one in the pot, kind of this time of year,
right?
Already too big, mm-hmm. and it had its own trellis, and I think it was, again, too soon, and it didn't do well.
Yeah.
So I thought, well, let's try again by starting with a little baby one and go from there.
Yeah. And just start her and train her up and keep an eye on her. I mean, the thick, heavy stems of a cucumber or the squashes and the melons, right? They can easily bend if they get too much weight. So keeping an eye on them that way.
But, okay. So that's a good tip for people who don't have a lot of space, right?
Consider going up.
Going up. Excellent. All right.
You were saying earlier, I think just on a commercial, that the lettuce in the wall bag.
Yes.
Right. And that's a great idea instead of impatiens or begonias or whatever.
Yes. I've mentioned that before. I have these really cool, it's like a fabric, and I forget what it's made of, recycled products. And I bought them several years ago. The name has totally escaped me. She was actually one of the first guests I had on the show, and she sold them when, like, this is 2.5 years ago now. So, my husband had to screw, they had like eyelets. And so you kind of screw them into the fence.
Right.
And it's a pocket. I want to say Woolly Pocket. Does that sound familiar?
It doesn't to me, but.
No. Okay. So I can get quite a bit of lettuce in this little Woolly Pocket, and it doesn't surprisingly, because there's something about the because it was a fabric and not a plastic.
Right.
That it actually did hold some moisture. So when you watered it, you know, not like, you know, a reservoir or anything, but it had moisture in it.
So
it didn't dry out as fast. So yeah, so it's been pretty successful. I wish I'd gotten a couple more. And then I think last year I was at the Peterborough, might have been the Peterborough Garden Show. And I got another one that goes, now this one's tricky though, because it's two pockets and it's meant to go on either side of a railing. So it's a pocket on either side.
Oh.
But the problem is it's at my house, one side of the railing gets different sun than the other side of the railing. So I didn't know last year. It seems to be one of those things that keeps blowing around my yard because I don't know what to do with it. So I got to think of something better this year. It's a much deeper pocket too. So it's a little tricky. Like herbs might have done good in that, although we've already put them in the pots. I quite haven't figured out what to do with that one. Whereas the one that's on the fence for the lettuce is just like the perfect size. I'll have to take some pictures.
And
post some pictures to everybody, to Facebook, and you can check it out. So please follow along. I will post some pictures about my vegetable garden journey, and we'll see. And you should post some of yours too.
Yes.
Yes, your container gardens.
Post my gardens, my tomatoes and strawberries. And
yeah.
carrots and whatever else I decide to grow.
I'm always chicken to try strawberries because I think the squirrels are just going to get the berry. The birds are going to get the berries before me.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of people do say that.
Yeah.
I get on the balcony.
Yeah.
Just the ever-bearing.
Okay, okay. Speaking of berries, so garden centers are carrying...
the bushel and berry.
Yeah,
line.
some other, so blueberries and raspberries?
Yep, blueberries, raspberries, blackberries. And I want to say there's one more, but I'm forgetting what it is.
Okay.
But I think it's those mainly those three, but they're all plants that are bred. Bearing fruit.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Bread to bear fruit.
Bread, thank you. But be planted in containers and
okay.
over winter if possible.
In containers? Oh.
Right. So, I mean, for example, the raspberry.
Right.
It only grows about 3 feet tall by 3 feet wide and it's thornless.
Oh, I was just going to say, because it's got thorns and
right.
it got suckers and it's a nasty.
Right. So she's more contained. She has no thorns.
Okay.
And she gives you a really, like a beautiful mass amount of raspberries.
What size container?
I have one in, I think it's about 18 inches long by about, I want to say 8 inches wide right now. And she's doing beautifully. She's
okay.
about to go full flower.
Oh,
absolutely
okay.
covered.
All right. Yeah. So, is anybody interested in growing some berries? So that's
berries
different. Because now that we put the vegetables, because I've invested, not spent a ton of money, but I've got some really big containers that I've used for vegetables. And so now we're like, my son's like, well, now what do we do with the containers? And I thought, well, you know, if we don't need them, we can make more room around the pool.
Right.
But maybe we try a blueberry
berries.
Plant. I believe it's still alive in my front garden because
mm-hmm.
I thought that's something that kind of blends in, right? Doing little berry bushes in the front yard. But I think because it's there, I never check. For fruit. Like, I don't, it's
right.
not, it's out of sight
mm-hmm.
mixed amongst
and
my
was
plants.
Was it one of those?
I think so.
Yeah. Okay.
If you name the name of the what's the blueberry one? It kind of has like a corny name to it. Like,
there's like jelly bean and pink icing and.
Yes, something like that.
Perpetua.
Yes, yes.
Right.
I'm thinking jelly bean or something like that.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and they're great too because blueberries normally need a pollinator.
Oh, okay.
And all the blueberries in this group are all self-pollinating.
Okay.
So you can also save space that way and have your blueberries.
Right.
Have your blueberries and eat them too.
Yes, yes. So that's a neat thing. So I'd definitely like to experiment with that a bit. So you're trying raspberries, did you say, or strawberries?
Yeah. At home I have strawberries in a pot, and then I have another container where I have raspberries, that bushel and berry raspberry. I have, I think it's pink icing blueberry. And then in the middle, to give it some height and some interest, I put a pixie grapevine.
Wow.
Yeah.
Where's that going to go?
And that's just in the middle, and then she's just going to go up. And she only grows about 2 feet tall and 1.5 feet wide. So I'm going to train her to go up this little mini obelisk and give myself some height.
Now, could I put that in my, because I love doing that, in my flowering, like in my containers in my front of my house?
Yeah. Yeah. That would be kind
of
neat in the middle
of
the
See, now you're
going to
get me onto all these different vegetable things, and then I'm not going to plant any flowers. So only goes 2, but how much grapes can come from 2 feet?
Yeah. I mean, this is the first year I've
okay.
grown them. I heard they are fairly, you know, they produce quite a bit.
Okay.
And they're the little clusters of little mini grapes.
Oh.
Yeah, they're almost like the little Concord grape clusters.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh,
but
okay.
but they have all the wine flavors, like the Merlot and the those classic winemaking and sweeter grapes, but just little dwarf versions and
yeah.
varieties.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I'm interested to see how that one turns out.
Okay, that seems
but
tempting. Yeah, for sure. So you have the grape one in with the blueberry, you said?
Yeah, I have the blueberry on the left, this grape in the middle, and then the raspberry on the right.
In one pot?
All in one, in that 18-inch by that 18, maybe it's closer to 24, but that, you know, that 2 by 24-inch by 8-inch
pot. Like
8
a window box?
Pot. Yeah, it's like a raised window blinder.
Oh,
yeah, and it stands
okay.
about 30 inches tall.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Huh. I can, yeah, because mine are round, but it's probably 30 inches tall and probably 30, like they're big, right? Because I always put, even though it's big, it wasn't big enough for 4 tomato plants, which I would stick in there. But again, I'd be like the survival of the fittest.
Yeah.
Go, we'll see who survives, right? So, not the best way to be a vegetable gardener. Although I am like that in even in my other plants. You know, I don't have time to baby anything. I plant it and it's got to go, right? Yep. And if it doesn't go, I take it out. B, I certainly don't put it in someone else's garden. So
Yeah,
definitely.
You need to test them all out.
Wow, where did the time go?
What? We have so much still to cover.
I know. Well, if you do have more questions, please feel free to contact us. You can email at the show. Gary will always send it to me, instudio101@gmail.com. My website is downtoearth.ca, and all my contact and social media links are there as well. And when Matt gets all his sorted out, but in the meantime, if I don't know, I will get him to answer.
Yep. You can follow me on Twitter at Nat Affinity.
Okay, excellent. You're on Twitter
I'm
now.
I'm on Twitter.
Okay, at Nat Affinity.
Yes.
Okay. There you go. And we want to thank everybody for listening once again. And
thanks for having me.
This is good. And we look forward to lots more to come in this growing season. There's lots more to talk about. So, we have a surprise show for next week. And we will go from there. So thank you, everyone.
Thanks, everyone, for listening.
Listening to us here on Reality Radio 101. Gary's gonna go or not?
I'm here. I'm
are you there? Are you there? Did you want us to wrap up?
For the next show.
Oh,
sorry.
Okay. No, that's fine. We can keep going if the next show is loot. Yeah. Good.
I'm listening. I am.
Okay. So everybody, be patient. Put up with this water, right?
Yes.
Water
is good.
Water is good. It's going to stop raining. The plants are going to be fine. And I wanted to talk about keep calm. You can still plant in June. You don't have to plant everything in May.
Right.
Right. So keep calm. We can still plant your gardens in June.
Plenty of time.
All right. On that note.
Thanks, everyone. You are listening to Down the Garden Path with your hosts, Joanne Shaw, and me, Matthew Dressing, here on Reality Radio 101.
Thank you for listening to Down the Garden Path with your hosts, Joanne Shaw and Matthew Dressing, right here on Reality Radio 101.